Preach it, sister.
Preach it, sister.
That's good. And can you do like, ow!
Ow!
There you go. I like that. I like it when I preach and I hear some of those because it makes, it encourages me. It encourages me that you're hearing what I'm saying. I saw this, I'm just trying to do this. I saw this once at a conference I was at just recently, and I liked that the preacher had a little more space here. I'm a little old school, so I don't preach from an iPad. I'm learning. This weekend when I was putting my notes together, I was desperately trying to put it on an iPad and desperately trying to like preach from it. But I don't know, the settings maybe on my iPad aren't really, I don't know how to change them, but it always went to black. So like to the sleep mode. So I always had to try and like turn it on, then I lost my place and then it was just confusing. So I just said, you know what, I'm just going to kick it old school. And I have notes. So, notes and a Bible. So, I hope you're okay with that this morning. So, I want to just, I love preaching. I love this house. The reason why I love it is because it's like family. I can come in here and I'm not nervous to stand up here and talk to you because I love you. We do life together. My husband and I, John, we have a life group. We love life group. We love getting together with the people here. We just love sharing life, and really that's what the Christian walk is all about. Being able to share your world with someone else, standing with someone else, encouraging someone else, believing for God to move in your life. We love it, and I love this church. I love these people, and so I'm so excited to be here this morning.
Yeah. Woo!
There you go. I got some of my players up front here. So just some news about my life, John and mine's life. Before I get started, many of you know that we've been praying for a home. And we've been praying for this for probably over a year, believing that we were going to get a house. We had some expectations, I guess some desires, wants. We had a list of things that we were looking for in a house. The search hasn't been easy. I don't know if any of you here have a home or have done the whole searching for a home. But my goodness, it is... quite the process. You go back and forth. It's like you've locked yourself into a roller coaster ride and you cannot get off. Like the person you're waving to them, like, take me off of this. And they just won't. And you just like keep going and you're going and up and down. And you know, you feel like throwing up all the time. And that's exactly how we felt. We went back and forth with, well, you know, we really want a 3-bedroom because we want to start a family. Oh, well, maybe we can't afford that. Maybe we'll just have to do a 2-bedroom. Maybe the kid will have to stay in our room. Like, you know, we were kind of... So anyways, long story short, we bought a house this past week. So it's really exciting. What's so exciting about it is it was everything we desired, which is crazy. It's absolutely beyond crazy. We were looking, we actually put 2 offers down. So we put an offer down on a house, when was it, like end of January, middle of January? And it wasn't exactly what we wanted, but we were like, man, this is still really good. That didn't go through. And then we were like, oh, what's going to happen? 2 days later, we walked into this other house, and we're like, wow, like this is way more than we could have ever hoped for or asked for. We're like, God, is this within our realm of possibility? Can we actually do this? And we just felt the peace of God to go ahead and put an offer down. So it was exciting and nerve-wracking. But this past Friday, we got the conditions removed, and we bought a house. And we get possession next week Friday. How crazy is that? That is like... That is a crazy turnaround time for buying a home. For anyone that knows that, that's really tight. And we actually were blessed, completely blessed with this couple in the front, Erica and Corey. We're building, if anyone knows anyone that needs to rent a place, we're building a basement suite in our home. And working with contractors, I own a business, for anyone that doesn't know that, and John is a teacher, so for us, it's very hard to coordinate with people during the day. And we were just struggling this past week trying to get contractors to agree on pricing and whatever, and I was really at my like wit's end. I couldn't handle it anymore. And then at Life Group, this is why Life Group is so good, at Life Group, Corey and Erica came up to us and said, let us help you. Corey is a general contractor, if you call that. He does framing too. And Erica and him have redone their house. They've been through this process. And they were so amazing. They just took it right off of our hands and did it for us. They coordinated everything for us. And I could actually do my workday. That is incredible. That brought so much blessing into our hearts and just made this process so much easier. So I want to thank you for those of you who have stood with us to believe for a home with us. I know that it's been long and hard, but it's been so good, and we want to thank you for that. Another exciting thing, this is the year. So last weekend was our year anniversary for our church, which is pretty awesome. It was also the year anniversary for John and I. So we've been married for a year, so that was really exciting to share that with the church. Third thing I want to share, I got my hair cut, most of you know. Okay, so this was like a few weeks ago. I said, if you want to copy the haircut, you can. I totally believe in that, and I think it's okay. It's called the Heidi cut. It's Heidi Klum's haircut. But I have an update for you. If you were considering cutting your hair like this, I want you to know that it takes time out of your day to do it. I had long hair before, and it was so easy. You know, you just put it in a bun. You could do like messy. But this hair, that doesn't work that way. It takes about half an hour to do, and it doesn't always work with you. So I have to get up earlier now to get ready. I spend way more time in the washroom than I want to. And at the end of the day, it doesn't look as good as it did at the beginning of the day. So if you are thinking about getting this haircut, there are some things you should consider before you actually do it, because it might not be what you're thinking. It might look good now, but wait until the end of the day. So, all right, so those are the three things I wanted to share. Okay. Okay. So before I get into my preach this morning, I want to talk a little bit about what the theme has been at the beginning of this year, coming into this year, through our life groups, through people we've talked to. There is this theme of people want victory in their life. I don't know, last year it sounds like it was a struggle, a challenge maybe for some people. Challenge for me being a new married person, it's never easy bringing two worlds into one. And in this theme of victory, people are really desiring to know, how do I claim this victory in my life? And the theme that we've come up with was this real desire. People have this desire or a deepening understanding of God's love for them. That victory can only truly happen when you understand the depth of God's love for you. And so this has been a kind of a theme that's been happening since the beginning of the year. Michael Payne did an awesome preach last Sunday. Do you remember, like, if you move, I move just like that? Do you remember that? Does anyone or no one remembers that? Okay. I was like, yeah, at home, whoa, if he moves, he moves, you know. Don't look up the video. It's a bad video. But I did. It's bad. I thought I was going to play it. It's not good. Anyways, it doesn't matter, okay? The part that's good is the move, right? Like, we move, God moves, right? Just like that. So I loved it, and it was totally, it helped me this past week. Because, you know, in victory and in love, if we move towards God, he moves. That's just how it works. And so it was such a powerful message. I loved it. It's always so good to hear from men and women of God that have that word from God. And Mike, I just want to encourage you. I just loved your message last week. It was so good, and it, I think it really ties into what I want to talk about today. At the end of the service, Michael asked everyone to kind of tango. His message was titled Tango. And I was at the front here, and I was kind of eyeing him because I wanted to tango, but he didn't want to tango with me. He was in his own world, but that's okay. Maybe at the end of the service we can tango together. So again, this theme. A few weeks ago during the service, God downloaded into my heart the message for today. Now, to be honest, I wasn't sure if I was actually going to be able to preach today just because of the whirlwind of buying a home this past week. But I believe that God really, really wants to speak to each one of us individually. The timing really couldn't be any better. It's Valentine's Day this week, for any of those men in the audience who might have forgotten that. It's the 14th on Thursday. The title of this message is called Love Stories. Now, before you check out on me, because I'm going to talk about love, I want to just hear me out. With this theme of victory and understanding God's love for you, there's something in our society that we have to change, I guess. Our society makes us believe that love is this thing. But God wants you to know that love is actually very different from what we think it is in terms of how society defines it in our lives. See, love, when we think about it, when you think about love, what's the picture that comes to your mind? Often, I'm going to say this often, maybe not for some of us real spiritual ones, but often that picture is of somebody that's married, a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, a husband-wife relationship. That's often the picture we see when we think of the word love. When we think of the word love in our life, how it is expressed in our life, we think about the husband-wife, the boyfriend-girlfriend. And unfortunately, when we think this way, it actually defines and directs how we connect with God. It really does. Think about it for just a second. If we believe that love, the highest, most attainable thing that we desire in our lives, most of us think it's a husband or a wife, or being in a relationship with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And when we have that picture of love, that's how we interact with God. Brock has said it many times in the last few services. Okay, we're the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. You know how he said, it's okay, guys, it's all right, there's no worries. So, you know, just don't think about it, just don't think about it. Just we're the bride of Christ, right? Why do we say that? We say it because we think of love and marriage, okay, more love. We think of love like a husband and a wife. So most women in the church and the audience, when we say the bride of Christ, we have no problem being okay with that. Because God's essentially like a guy, so it's fine, you know, and then we're a girl, and so it makes sense for us. But most guys struggle with that. Because God's a guy, and I'm a guy. Right? Right? Like, am I... Give me an amen. Like, shout it out. There you go. And that's the issue, right? Because inside, deep inside, we believe that love looks a certain way. We believe it looks like marriage. And that's the highest attainable point of love in our lives. It's the one thing we search after. It's the one thing we pursue with all of our heart. We will put everything aside to find that one. It's so true. When we're young, what do? Go to Bible college. Why? So we can find a person to be in love with. Okay? That's what we do. We go out. We go to SWC worship community so we can find someone to love. That's what we do. It's true. Why? Because we believe that love looks like that. And here's the funny thing. When you believe that love looks like that, and you eventually get it, it never matches what that desire truly was. You're always left disappointed. I know tons and tons of people who have gotten married with the idea that they attained, they arrived, someone loves me, I love them, it couldn't be any better, this is wonderful, my life is going to be complete. And then they find out that, I'm still the same. Nothing's changed. I have to do chores. Now I have to cook for this person. Now I have to clean the bathroom. Now I have to do the laundry. That's what happens, actually, when you get married. Just for any of you who are like, I can't wait. Okay? That's the truth. Okay? I'm breaking some of these lies that you're thinking of. Okay? It's the truth. I have to be honest. The confusion of love today is that in our culture, we are pre-programmed to think about love in a very specific way. And today, God wants to show you the depth of what love actually is. And so, with that, I want to do something a little different today. I'm going to ask that everyone stand. And I'd like you to put a seat in between yourself and the other person. So a seat between yourself and the other person. If you need to move, move. But a seat between yourself and the other person. And I want you to stay standing. I believe that God, He gave me a very specific picture of what today's service was going to look like. As you can see, it looks a little different than typical. This is because He wants to speak to each one of us individually. See, God's love is not attached to you being in a relationship with someone. Okay? That is not His highest purpose for you or highest understanding of what love is. He wants to break down some of those walls that we have put up, that society has put up, and we've just walked into and believed. So today, He wants to speak to you individually because He loves you individually. At the end of this life on earth, when we pass, guess what? It's about you. You. Not you and your future wife. You. That's why today it's important that when you're listening to this message, think about you. Your relationship with God. Not you and your wife, or you and your boyfriend, or you and your husband. You. Because at the end of the day, God wants to speak with you. So let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we can come into a house like this. Lord, we are so thankful that the Word of God can flow freely here. Thank you, Jesus, that the presence of the Holy Spirit can saturate this house. Thank you, Lord, that our hearts are open to receive the Word of God today. Thank you, God, that we can bring everything before you, that there is nothing that we ever have to fear, that we can lay all of our struggles, all of our challenges, all of the things that impede us from moving forward, we can lay that at your feet. Thank you, God, that you show us true love. Thank you, Lord, that we can be vulnerable in your presence. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here with us today and that you want to speak to each one of us individually because you love us. Amen. All right, let's sit. Are you feeling good? Is everyone excited? Okay. All right, we're doing a little different, but I know that you're okay with difference, so that's why I'm doing it. All right, in the Bible, there are four definitions of love. I don't know if anyone knew that. Some of you might know that. But I want to talk to you about the four different kinds of love that are in the Bible. And I want to share with you love stories. Now, they might not be what you're thinking, so bear with me. Some of them are tragic love stories. Some of them are romantic love stories. But the stories I want to share with you, I think, bring to life the difference in these four definitions of love. And it's important as Christians that we understand that there are different forms of love in our life. And that regardless if we're married or not, we can actually attain all four. So walk with me today. The first one I want to talk to you about is friendship love. Now, I'm going to be saying these words, and if they're not exactly how you pronounce them in the Greek, That's fine, okay? You can pronounce them however you want. This is how I want to pronounce them, so I will pronounce them this way. Just so we're all aware, okay? No one laughing at me when I pronounce them. The first one is phileo love. This is love of friends. In the Bible, Jesus uses this, I guess in the New Testament, it's there 21 times. When he's talking to his other disciples, when he uses the word love, when he asks Peter, Peter, do you love me? He's actually saying, Peter, are you my friend? Okay, when he's using that word, that's what that actually means. The love story I want to share for this one takes place in Australia. As most of you know, I was there in 2008. I've lived in Australia twice, once when I was a teenager and then when I was older and I finished university. And this story actually took place, this incident happened when I lived there. And I'm using it because I think it's one of the greatest acts of friendship, love. So, here we go. Police in Australia have praised the extraordinary courage of a teenage boy who went to the aid of his 16-year-old friend after he was fatally attacked by a shark. Okay, I told you it was going to be tragic, right? This first one. Despite knowing that the shark was still prowling nearby, Brock Curtis Matthew swam through the water that was stained red with blood to help his badly mutilated friend. Attempts by paramedics and lifeguards to revive the schoolboy failed, and he died from blood loss caused by bites to his legs and body. The tragedy, the first fatal shark attack in Australia in more than 2 years, happened as two friends were boogie boarding off a beach in Ballina. The young survivor later described to journalists how he saw a big gray shadow pass beneath him as he paddled towards his stricken friend. Some 50 meters from the shore, he had to paddle to get to him. He said he reached out to grab his friend, and he said, I saw him on his back with his head above the water. Then I turned him so he was face up, and all I could see was his leg missing. He didn't make a noise. Detective Inspector Steve Clark said to police that they recommended that Curtis Matthew receive a bravery award. He said, as he re-entered the water and started paddling out to his friend, there was no stopping that shark from actually attacking him. This shark was a bull shark. For those of you who aren't familiar with sharks, bull sharks, their nature is to bump and bite. Most sharks don't do that. They'll bump you and then they'll move away. But bull sharks bump and bite. So it was extremely dangerous for this young man to go back into the water to save his friend. He could have easily been bitten as well. Despite seeing that his friend could potentially have been dead, he brought him back to shore. And it was an act of extreme bravery from one friend to another. This hit national news everywhere in Australia when it happened at the time. I have friends in Ballina. I actually have a girlfriend that's coming from Ballina in August to be here for a month. It was a huge, huge news article. But you know, in the Bible, when Jesus talks about the greatest thing you can do for a friend is what? Lay down your life for a friend. Is that not what he says? When Jesus is talking about love to friends, he's talking about phileo love. And this was a great act of phileo love. Can you imagine if you were the one in the water with your buddy and a shark bit your buddy and you had caught a wave already and you were sitting at the shore but your buddy was out there? Would you have gotten back into the water and swam out and got him? That is the depth of phileo love. That is the extreme bravery and courage of phileo love. And God, it says that Jesus is a friend of ours. Jesus would do that for you. Isn't that amazing? Phileo love, just friendship love. We haven't even gotten to the other loves, just friendship love. Jesus would do that for you. The second love I want to talk about is storge love. That's how I say it. Don't make fun. Storge love. This is love that family members share for one another. Often it's considered maternal love, but it's love that families share, okay? How you relate to your mom and your dad, your sister and your brother. There's a love there, right? A natural love. Sometimes you might not like them through your life, but at the end of the day, you still love them. And I want to share this love story, which is about Lisa and Laura Ling. I don't know if any of you had ever heard of this, but Lisa and Laura Ling news reporters, they're journalists, their parents, they were orphaned, their grandmother took care of them, very strong Christian family. And Laura, the eldest sister, went over into North Korea and something happened to her. I'll let them explain it, but I believe that this showcases what storge love looks like to us. It's okay, Drew. We still love you. Phileo love you. Just so everyone's aware. No. So the reason why I wanted to share this one is because often when we think of storge love, we do think of a mother-daughter-son relationship or a father-daughter-son relationship, but we don't think about the tie that we have as brothers and sisters in a family of Christ, and also our natural brothers and sisters. My sister's here today, right there in the front row, and she agreed that if I was struggling during my preach today, that she would actually sing a song for you. See, she's willing to stand up and be my support. And see, God also has that relationship with us. Jesus said we're like his brothers and sisters. God the Father is like our Father. We experience storge love all the time. But it is different than phileo love. Phileo love is a choice. We have a choice to befriend someone. Storge love, there is no real choice there. It's just something that happens. We're born into a family, it happens. When you become Christian, you're born into the family of Christ. There's instant love. So, we have two loves we've explained. Phileo love, friendship love. Storge love, family love. The third love that's in the Bible, that's often very controversial. Eros love. Eros love is the physical expression of love in your life. And is often shared when you've got a ring on it. Okay? The story I want to share with you about Eros love, and this is often the love. Remember at the beginning when I was talking about the love that society gives, the love that society kind of pushes us toward, and that's how we define what love is, right? The husband-wife relationship, the boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. This is the love I'm talking about. Okay? This is the love that we exalt above all other loves in our life. So, Eros love. I'm going to share with you the story of John and I because it's the only example I've got, really. But I think it's a good story, too. So, at the age of 24, I gave my life to the Lord. I was in Australia. I was in a relationship at the time. I came, moved back to Saskatoon. Relationship ended. I made the decision because I valued Eros love above all other loves that I was going to pursue that. I was going to pursue the next relationship. As I pursued that, I realized that God's love for me, He wanted something different. He wanted me to understand the expanse of His love for me. And so I made the decision not to pursue Eros love, but instead to pursue God. And so for 4 years, I was single. It's a long time. I remember somebody in my Bible college, I was in second year, he was in first year, he looked at me and he said, "Allie, aren't you worried?" And I was like, "About what?" "Well, you're old." I was like, "Excuse me? What?" I was 27. "You're old. Aren't you worried you're never going to be married?" I almost wanted to slap him. And I know that that's not okay, but I did. I really wanted to slap him. And I looked at him and I said, "I'm not worried. God's got it under control." Now, it wasn't easy, okay? Being single is never easy, especially when you still have that love of a marriage relationship as your pedestal that you look at. Okay? Being single isn't easy. There are times when I went to my mom and I said, "Listen, Mom, I might be single forever. I think I'll just get a cat. I will be a cat lady and it's okay. I'm all right. I'm going to rock it with God." I was saying that though, but I was still thinking about this marriage relationship that I desired. And it's not wrong. I'm not saying that you can't desire that, okay? I'm not saying that because it is something to desire. But when we put that on a pedestal, every other kind of love, we disregard. We kick it off. We don't care. We're so focused on that. So for the 4 years, I really, really made the decision to pursue God, to love Him, to show me, to guide me. Sure, there were opportunities that came, okay? There was opportunities that came for people that I could have had a relationship with. But in the end, they were never quite what I desired. Or I was never quite what they desired. And that was okay. Because I knew that God had something more for me. So in 4 years, I dedicated myself to God. I chose to follow Him. And then in 2010, I met John. I wasn't looking for John. I had given up hope. And I met him. Now, right away, he was like, "Woo, look at that babe." And I was like, "I'm just doing things for God, and I don't care about anyone." I was really kind of hard about that, but John was like, look at that babe. I'm going to follow that babe. I'm going to go everywhere where that babe is. And so he went to my church. He like hung out where I was. He wanted to know everything about me. He was purposed. But he asked God first. That was one thing. He did ask God first. He did put that before God and ask God if it was okay. And God kind of gave him the peace light, like, it's all right, go ahead, proceed with caution, she might be crazy. So, but he was allowed to, okay? He was allowed to. And so he pursued me. At a New Year's party, he purposely went there to get one conversation with me. Just one. He said, God, if I can get one conversation with her, that's all I want. He stayed late that night. I was kind of like, what is this guy doing here? Like, I'm trying to clean up. You know, he's like hanging around. He doesn't really know anyone here. But little did I know, he was purposely pursuing that one conversation with me. So at the end of the night, he finally got his chance as I was cleaning up the celery. And he sat down beside me. And we had a conversation. And I'll tell you this. The words that John spoke were the very words and things that God had spoken to my heart over the last 4 years. It was so crazy to sit there and listen to what he was saying. I had goosebumps all over me, and I'm not the kind of person who really gets like, you know, I'm not like that. Like, I'm kind of like, I own a business, you know, like I'm like a businesswoman. So I don't really get like, ooh, but I was sitting there and I was like sweating and I was like, oh, and I like could barely, you know, handle myself in front of him. And I was like, I got to get out of here. And like, I went to the washroom and I'm just like sweating. And I'm like, what is going on? You know? Oh, that's what Eros love is, hey? When you get sweaty and gross and, you know, goosebumps, can't control yourself. It's that presence of that person. And so, John and I had the conversation, kind of backed off from one another a little bit. He kept pursuing, I kept praying, asking God for peace over this. I was nervous. I'd been single for a long time. I was completely okay if I had to be a cat lady for the rest of my life. But God gave me this peace. Within 4 months, 6 months, 6 months, 4 months, yeah, somewhere around there, we got engaged. It's very short. But when you're old, like that first year Bible college student said, when you find someone, you make it happen. Right? So we were ready for that. But the cool thing about this love story was actually the day that we got engaged. For 4 years, like I said, I had been pursuing God with the desire of getting married. I spent time in his presence. I let him speak to my heart. I let him cultivate desires in me. And I would write them all down. When God speaks, my relationship with God is often he'll speak to me and I just write things down, and it's prophetic for my life. And so I wrote these things down, and leading up to us getting engaged, the Lord said to me, I want you to write out all the prophecy that I gave you over the last 4 years on a piece of paper, and I want you to give that to John when he proposes to you. And so I didn't know when John was going to propose to me. I knew that we were going to get married. I knew that that was going to happen because I had already picked out the ring. I already knew it was going to happen. So I listened to God and I wrote down everything that I had had for prophecy over my husband. I had even written out prayers for my husband long before I knew him. See, when you are in that intimate relationship with God and you know he loves you and he has a plan for you, it's okay, you're open to praying for that person that's going to come into your life far long before you ever meet them. And there's some security in that. So I started praying for John, and I had actually had prayer cards that I had written out. So I got together a 7-page letter. Yes, girls do talk a lot, but guess what? This is all God, okay? All prophecy from God, so it wasn't like I was embellishing anything. God also likes to talk too. So I wrote this down. It was Thursday I finished. I folded it up, put it in an envelope, had it on my dresser. Sunday came. John was going to take me to church. And I just was like, oh, I should just put it in my purse today because who knows when it's going to happen. So I just put it in my purse because I thought I might as well always be ready. So I threw it in my purse that day. On the way to church, I'm saying to John, when are you going to propose? When is it going to happen? And he's saying, listen, okay, like it'll happen. Just let it be, you know, don't be worried about it. I've got it all under control. And I'm kind of pestering him the whole time. And he's saying, you know, when you look back on a calendar, you're not going to think it's been that long. And I'm like, whatever, just do it. I want that ring. Like, all I can think about was this. And so we go to church, and we are in church. Everything's fine. We leave church. Normally, we go out for lunch. John's like, oh, let's get Subway. And I was like, I hate Subway. Fine. So then I was like, whatever, we'll get Subway, go back to his house. So we got Subway, went back to his house. But he's like missing. I'm sitting downstairs with his brother James, for some of you who know James. James is like quietly eating his sub, just smiling at me. And I'm just like, hey, you know, church was good. And all of a sudden John comes downstairs and he has this manila envelope. And he slaps it on the couch and he says, you can't leave until I text you. And he runs out the door. And I was like, ah, it's happening today. And I just knew it was happening. And I was like, I got my letter. Like, it was all planned, you know. And I'm just like, woo. So John took me on a treasure hunt throughout the city. So he had taken this time. This is like props or heads up for you guys that are single. What you need to do, you know, make it elaborate, make it exciting. Especially if you have a girl like me. So it was this treasure hunt. So he had made these like poems and he had done these clues as to certain areas in the city where we had had dates or shared something that was special. And I had to figure it out. And then once I got there, there was a gift. So there was like another like thing that I got. And it was all my favorite things. So he had it all over the city and people were playing along. Like there was a Starbucks we went to and all the girls are like, you're the one, you're the one. They're like, come back after it happens. You know, they were all really excited to be part of it. And and this whole time I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I can't believe this is happening. Finally, I get to the place where John was standing waiting for me. And I was so overwhelmed with everything. I was so excited. You know, the whole time I was driving there, I knew God loved me more than anything else. I knew John loved me. But the one thing I couldn't stop thinking about was how much God loved me. And so I went, and he proposed. It was awesome. And I got to give him my letter. And at the beginning of my letter, I didn't know he was going to send me on a treasure hunt. But at the beginning of my letter, it said, John, you are my treasure. And so it was so cool that God knew what John was going to do. God prepared me way in advance for my present to John and how it all just worked together. God had his hand in it the whole time. And in the letter, I wrote this, and I want to share it with you. I said, for me, I don't know if there was an exact moment when I knew that I loved you. Because I've loved you in my heart before I ever knew you. Loving you is so natural. It's simply an extension of who I already am. Over the last 5 years, my love for you guided my choices, it kept my heart, and it led me to this very moment. In my spirit, I knew you. I could see you. I believed for you, and I was passionate for you. Today, everything I had hoped for and desired has come to life. Love was already working in us and for us before we ever said the words, See, love, there's something deeper about love. It's not just attaining to that marriage relationship. Love was already working for us and in us. So what is that love? What is the love that works in phileo love? What is the love that works in us when we have those brother-sister relationships? What is the core of love that God desires for each one of us and connects our ability to be a friend to someone, to love as a brother or sister, and to be in a very committed relationship with a partner? What is that love? The love is agape love. We use this very freely sometimes in church, but there's a real depth to agape love. Agape love is the cornerstone of love itself. This is the love that God wants to infuse our hearts with. It's the love that God wants to connect your stories with. It's the love that God wants you to know above all other loves. If you've got this, you've got it all. If you've got this, I'll show you how to be a good friend. If you've got this, I'll show you how to love your brothers and sisters. If you've got this, I'll show you how to walk in a committed relationship and experience the expression of God. If you've got this love, you've got me. I love you. The story, the last love story I want to share, I'm spitting. This last love story I want to share is found in the Bible. I know it's a shocker, hey? And I read this when I was in my first year Bible college, and it brought me to my knees. And it's been a scripture and a story that has just infused my heart. Whenever I think about preaching, and I think about preaching in front of thousands of people, this is the message that I believe I'm going to preach. Because God's love for us is so deep, it's so strong, it's so passionate, that without it, you can't do anything. Without it, you don't know who you are. Without it, you can't make good decisions. Without it, you can't walk in freedom. Without it, you can't love. It is the strongest, most important part of love in anyone's life. And this is a story I want to share with you. If you want to turn with me today to Luke 15:11. I'm reading this one out of the New Living Translation. It's up on the screen here. It's a story of a lost son and the great love of a father. This is how it goes. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now, instead of waiting until you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all of his belongings and took a trip to a distant land. And there, he wasted all of his money on wild living. Before I go on to the next one, I want you to know, in this day, what this son was asking is, he's basically saying to his dad, "I wish you were dead. I dislike you that much, I wish you were dead, and I want what is inherited to me now." It's pretty intense. I mean, I don't know. Well, if you'd ever said to your dad. But I'd never say that to my dad. But that's what this guy did. And his dad was like, "All right, I'll give you your inheritance." The next one. About this time, he ran out of money. A great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. The boy became so angry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. As a Jewish person, what's the one thing you don't eat? Anyone know? Pigs. Okay, so think about this for a second. He just asked for his dad's inheritance, got all of his that was owed to him or waiting for him, took it, went off, spent it, did whatever he wanted with it. Now, he's willing to eat what the pigs are eating. How shameful would that feel? Next one. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired men have food enough to spare, and here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home and say to my father, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son, but please take me on as a hired hand.'" He was willing to go back to his dad and ask, "Hey, you know what? I totally messed up. Let me work for it. Put me in the lowest place. I'll just work for it." But the most amazing part of this story is this. The next one. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Give a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we've been fattening in the pen. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." And so the party began. Think about this for a second. Agape love denotes the undefeatable love and goodwill that always seeks the highest good of the other person no matter what he does. It is the self-giving love that gives freely without asking anything in return and does not consider the worth of its object. Agape love describes the unconditional love that God has for you. How many of us have been that son once or twice in our lives? How many of us have made choices that have pulled us away from God? I have. How many of us might have done things in our life that we deem fairly shameful? How many of us carry guilt in our hearts, hurt from our past? How many of us need to know that God loves us so deeply? I love this scripture. I love this story. Because this son did the worst possible thing. He said to his dad, "I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead." And what did his father do? The moment he saw him coming, he ran to him. He charged for him. He went after him with everything he had. You know, back in the day, for a man to lift up his robe and run was a huge disgrace. But his dad picked up his robe and he ran after him. Most of us think when we've done something to offend God or we've done something that isn't quite righteous, that we need to work back into God's grace, like this son did. We think we need to earn ourselves back into the position where God would love on us, would be pleased with us. But this story shows that we don't actually need to do that. What is the father in this story, who is a representation of God, do? He runs after you. He runs after you and he places the finest robe on you. He puts a ring on your finger. He takes that calf that they had been waiting to fatten for a feast, and he butchers that calf, and he gets it, and he puts a feast on, a party for you. A party for you. His love for you is so deep that he doesn't care what happened. See, that's what agape love is. He doesn't look at the worth of the object. You might think that your worth is nothing. You might think that it would be impossible for him to forgive me, impossible for him to love me, impossible for him to be pleased with me. I must have to do something in order for him to love me more, to love me complete. Maybe I need to be Christian for like 6 years and then finally he'll love me. Finally he'll talk to me. Finally these desires of my heart will actually be fulfilled. But God actually says, no. The moment you make a decision in your heart to turn to God, to go back, to ask God, I need you, he runs after you. He pursues you with everything he has. This is the type of love that is the foundation of love itself. When we talk about the bride of Christ, the love that we share foundationally starts with agape love. So when we say the bride of Christ, that we are the bride of Christ, this is the love we're talking about. Agape love. Not eros love. Not phileo love. Not storge love. Agape love. See, then it doesn't matter if you're male, female, relating to Christ. He's actually saying the bride of Christ, the love that God has for the bride, for the church, is agape love. He wants you to respond to him with agape love. He wants you to know that he loves you regardless of what you've done, regardless of how shameful you might feel, he loves you with agape love. Today, I believe, with the band coming up, today I believe that there are people here that needed to hear that there were different types of love. Needed to hear that society has put eros love on some sort of pedestal that we all have to attain. That our life isn't complete if we don't have that. Guess what? That is just an element, an addition to agape love. It's agape love that we pursue. It's agape love that we come to have an understanding in. When we pursue that, the love of God, eros love, phileo love, storge love, it all becomes complete in our lives. You know, you're able to experience all of those loves without actually being in a committed relationship with someone. If eros love is a physical expression of love, wouldn't the presence of God be that? If storge love is the love of family, wouldn't God the Father fulfill that? If phileo love is a love of a friend, wouldn't Jesus fulfill that? See, God can fulfill all of those different types of love if you understand that he loves you. And today, I believe that there are people here that need God to be a friend to them today. That need God to be a father to them today. They need the Holy Spirit's presence in their life. They need to be touched by God today. I believe that there are people here this morning that need to have healing happen in their hearts. They need to know that God loves them with that agape love. That the moment that they turn and they ask God, God, I'm sorry, that he is right there. Right there to love on you. Right there to show you that you are worth something to him. I don't know what you've been challenged with this year. I don't know what you're dealing with right now. But I know this. We cannot walk a day in our lives without knowing the love of God to some dimension. It is almost impossible to do it because we struggle and it's hard. Life isn't easy. But I'll tell you this, that the peace of God, the rest of God, and the love of God is what can get you over any mountain, yeah. Is what can call that mountain to its feet. Amen. If you have been searching for that one, and your eyes have been on that one, and you're trying to get yourself ready for that one, today you just need to know that He loves you first. He wants you to put that to the side and just say, girl, guy, I got you. I got your back. Don't try and figure this out yourself. Allow God to write that story for you. Allow God to be in the fabric of that story. Because then when you get married, you won't be disappointed. You won't have lifted that person onto a pedestal that they can never measure up to. And so as we stand, I want to invite you today, where you're at, to open your heart to God. Like I said, I don't know, some of you might need Him as a father today, as a friend. Maybe you need His presence today more in your life than you ever have before. But I want to open up the front here. It's not about me. I'm not going to come and pray for you. But the cry of your heart, He just wants you to make a move so He can move. It's all He wants you to do. Just open up to Him. Cry out to Him. Ask Him for what you need. And I promise you that the love of God will come into your heart. And it will lead you in things that you've never thought possible. Because His love for you is deeper than anyone's love for you could ever be. And so with that, I pray a blessing over you today. I thank you for being here. I believe God's blessings are in your heart. At the end of the service, before you leave, we have little hearts that we made for everyone. Our life group, what we did is we spoke to God and we asked God for scripture for every single person that was here today. And God has written a scripture for your exact situation. And so before the end of the service, as you're walking out, there's going to be someone who's going to have a bucket, and I want you to take a heart out. And I want you to take that with you and know that God wants to speak to you. He loves you individually. And His heart is for you and passionate about you. So as we go into this time of worship, just be free. Come to the front if you want. It's open for you. And I want you to have an amazing week. I hope you were encouraged by this. And I hope as you leave here today, you feel more loved than you did when you came. Amen. God, just fill us up, Lord. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here today. If there's anyone today that would love prayer or need prayer for anything, we're going to be at the front. Come see me. I'd love to pray for you. As you leave this place today, know that God loves you with that agape kind of love. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God besides yourself. Know that He loves you with an everlasting love. And if you want prayer, I'm up here. I'd be happy to pray for you. I hope this service encouraged you. I hope you walk out of here feeling more loved and more encouraged than you did when you came. Thank you. Have a blessed week.